In 1 Samuel chapter 16, the prophet Samuel is very fearful. As the prophet Samuel is very fearful, God has given him orders. I need you to go to Jesse's house. I have picked the next king of Israel. And what ends up happening, Samuel goes there, meets Jesse. The story picks up in verse number 7, where I want us to look at. The Bible says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord, as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I want to preach to you a message. God is not seeing who you are. God is seeing what you do. God is not seeing what you think you can do. God is seeing what you do with what he's given you. God is not looking at what you have done in your life in comparison to anybody else. God is looking and seeing what you've allowed him to do through you. Are you with me today? If we had the time, we'd go on down through. We know David's the smallest. We know David in the eyes of man is the least of importance. But David is about to do some things because he did God's will in God's way in God's place. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. I ask you now, Father, in Jesus' name, that, Father, you'll anoint me with a fresh anointing, that you'll fill me with a fresh filling. I ask, Father in heaven, that you'll work in the hearts and lives of these people. Thank you, Father, for this day and this opportunity. I ask for your filling. I ask you, Holy Spirit, as I yield my mind, my body, my mannerisms, and my voice to you, that you use me as a human tool to be able to be a blessing to these your people. Help me to be expedient about the time. Be with those that are in junior church and those that have other responsibilities. May you put a hedge around us, and I pray with an expectant spirit that you're going to work in hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, David did not anticipate what was about to be done. In this passage of Scripture, David's dad did not anticipate what was about to be done. In this passage of Scripture, David's brothers, matter of fact, Samuel did not even anticipate what God was going to do in the life of this young shepherd boy, David. If we had the time, we would go through about him being the shepherd that he was, being the obedient son that he was. But I want us to turn a page. And that page that I want us to turn is God not only that day allowed Samuel to anoint him to be king, but David didn't go in the position as a king. David went in the position of a servant. We know that he went to the king's house. We know that the king was possessed of a demonic spirit. We know that the king had lost himself. And what ended up happening is God had sent David to play on the harp, and a great spirit of comfort had come. There's a message there in the type of music that you and I listen to. And be careful about that. Even at this Christmas season, be careful of what you listen to and some of the songs and some of the things. Listen to things that please God and comfort your spirit. Listen to things that express the love of God and express the encouragement of your spirit. But now let's go to chapter number 17. In chapter number 17, we see that the army of God, three of David's brothers, the soldiers that are 20 years of age and older, are now in combat with that enemy that always has been and with that enemy that always will be. As I was reading my devotions this morning, I looked up two names in the book of Daniel, and I said to my wife, I said, honey, do you know what this name means? And she said, no. I said, it's Northwest Iran. I said, do you know what this name means? And she says, no, it's Southwest Iran. And it's God telling you and me positions that those great ungodly antichrists and their armies are going to be able to come. But in this passage of Scripture, God is in full control. And God gives you and me an example, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, there ought to be a positive heart, there ought to be an encouraging heart, and there ought to be a heart of when I have the opportunity, I do what God has before me. This last summer, I watched different things. I give devotions to the staff, and they pick up phrases or they pick up quotes that sometimes I don't even know that I say or do. Brother James Tenhara said, Brother Dave, I love when he accidentally says something because it shows that it is from God. And I made this statement this summer. I said, staff, if you see it, it needs to be done, you have the opportunity and the ability to do it, then it's God's will for you to do it. What I was referring to is if you walk and you see a piece of paper, you see a candy wrapper. What I was offering to, if you go out of a room and you see that the light is still on, shut it off. But as I was thinking about that this week, and I was thinking about coming to the Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I was praying to know the mind of God, and last night when I was awakened several times and talking to the Lord, I kept coming to this passage of Scripture. I've probably preached more messages in my lifetime out of 1 Samuel chapter 17 than I have any other chapter in the Bible because I love it. I love it because it's an impossibility. I love it because it has God all through it and over it. I love it because God gets done what God needs to get done, not because of ability, not because of position, because somebody just says, I see what needs to be done, I'm willing to do it, and I'm doing it, God, your way. Can I say that again? It's high time that you and I, as God's people, shut the TV off, get rid of the television set. I'm not telling you that you don't need to get a newspaper, but quit dwelling on that because it's twisted. Quit listening to the radio and letting your mind be twisted. Quit listening to the circumstances of our world and of our country and decide I'm going to be in fellowship with God. Because if David had looked at the circumstances, if David had looked at the situation, if David had heard that scream of that giant, what would he have done? He would have run. He would have turned tail. He wouldn't have seen the cause. He wouldn't have seen the circumstance. You and I, from the rest of our lives, will be in a test pattern. A test pattern for our love for God. And a test pattern to see if the devil can stop us. Don't forget what happened to the Lord Jesus himself after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible said in his human body that he hungered. He was weak. He hadn't eaten in 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible direct quote says, and afterward he hungered. But my friend, he did not yield. My friend, he did not falter. My friend, he did not turn weak because he was strong in what? His relationship with his Father in heaven. And that's where you and I have to live. That's where you and I have to strive for. There are circumstances and there are situations when I told the staff and I said these words, if you see it, you have the ability, you have the time, then it's God's will for you to do it. Right. It doesn't matter if it's just turning off a light switch. It doesn't matter if it's picking up a piece of paper. It doesn't matter if it's closing a door. It doesn't matter if doing something that you're not even assigned to. And I said, within those boundaries. And my friend, if you and I could be that generation, and we could be the last generation before the turn of our Lord, if we could be that generation that would live in victory and say, God, I'm ready to do what you have before me. I'm ready and I'm excited, God, what you're going to do. I'm going to jump ahead at the end of the message. I believe with all my heart there was more excitement in David's life than ever before because the Bible is going to show us that he ran towards the giant. He didn't falter. He knew what God was going to do. He believed what God was going to do. He was prepared for God to do it. And he said, the only thing that's holding it up is me getting it done. If you and I would live our lives in a victorious way, realizing God is in charge and God knows and God's not made a mistake. And my friend, if we would just look and say, it's before me, I have the ability, I have the time, I have the opportunity, so let's just get it done. I know I'm not a good preacher. I know I look like when I preach that I've been bit by a dog and I've got rabies. I can't help it that I foam. I have more people walk up to me and say, do you know your hand's sweating? I want to slap them with it, you know. I haven't yet. I've considered it. No, I haven't. But that's just the way it is. I said to your preacher last night as we were sharing tears of joy and we were talking about being old. You know that's pretty morbid when you sit around and talk about your age. And I start crying and tears start going with, and I stopped and I remember when my spiritual father said to me, because my dad was a good dad. My dad loved me. He didn't tell me that, but I knew he loved me in his way. And my dad, I was raised that real men don't cry. It doesn't mean I didn't, but I hid when I did. And I never let it seen. And then a very wise, godly man said, "Dave, when you cry, it's God squeezing your heart and the juice is coming out your eyes. We cry tears of joy. We cry tears of happiness. We cry tears of emotion. Aren't you glad we have emotion? Aren't you glad we can be tender? Aren't you glad we can be happy? Aren't you glad there's times that we are sad because it gives us an emotional feeling of love and passion to someone?" Last week, we're in Southeast Kentucky. Stood at the table just like here. Little girl walked up as my wife and I began to talk to her. She lost everything. She lost family. But she was happy, and she was in church, and she was full of joy. I thought, oh God. When the invitation was given last Sunday, a couple walked down the aisle. The waters of Southeast Kentucky and the rains came. Their home was washed away. They were doing anything they could, and when their home began to wash away, they were grabbing, and the mom and the daughter and the dad were washed away, and they were trying to hold on to each other, and the dad was swept on down farther in the river and got caught in a tree, and the mother and the daughter were able to grab a hold of limbs, and the helicopters came in, and they found the dad, and his head was just barely above water when the helicopter and the men rappelled out to get him and to collect him. And last Sunday morning, they both walked the aisle. Their next door neighbors were there. They had invited them almost weekly for 8 years to come to church. And last Sunday morning, they walked the aisle, trusting Christ as their Savior. I'm so glad some soul winner didn't quit. I'm so glad some soul winner said, "They haven't come before, they'll probably never come again." I'm so glad that some soul winner, but you know the end of the story? Last Sunday was the first time they'd ever darkened the door of a church. My friend, you and I have an opportunity before us. My friend, when David went to this battlefield, he didn't go to the battlefield as a soldier prepared for battle. He didn't go to the battlefield with a soldier prepared with armament. He didn't go to the battlefield with a soldier ready to line up with the other soldiers. He went as a servant with an opportunity, doing a job that God had for him. And I want to move quickly through this passage of Scripture. And I ask that your heart would be open. I ask that your spirit would be open. That you would go ahead and say, "God, in this place, in this time in my life, let me see what you see. If you've given me the ability, let me use that ability and do what you've given me to do for God's glory and God's honor and for the kingdom that will soon come. That you and I may be those that God can use and God can bless. And we can see and share the blessings of God with others." As I look at this passage of Scripture, the giant in chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, he had presented himself, and we pick up the story in verse number 9. The giant is crying out to the soldiers, and he says, "If ye be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants, and I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." That's the challenge. The obviousness of this battlefield and the obviousness of this day in war and the obviousness of what's going on is that Goliath has presented himself 40 days and 40 nights. Picture with me over here the Philistine army encamped. Picture with me over here the army of God, the Israeli army encamped. And picture with me the giant coming to the center of the battlefield. Hear his challenge, hear his screams. Now picture with me a young boy receiving orders from his father, and he approaches. Look with me in verse number 15. "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. And look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. And now Saul and they all and the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistine. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him." Number one, I want you to look at this. He did what he was asked to do the way he was told to do it. He ran out of obedience. out of obedience to authorities that he saw, his father, out of obedience to the God and God's predestined, preordained plan for David's life. Can you imagine if he would not have been obedient to his dad? Can you imagine how he could have felt the circumstances? Dad, that's a battlefield. Dad, what if something happens to me? Dad, what if I get there and some of the enemy capture me before I get there to my brothers? But David didn't do that. David responded and did immediately out of obedience. And that's what God needs to see in our lives. I don't know the circumstances. I just know this, it is better to obey than sacrifice. That's what Saul heard from Samuel. So we see David obedient to serve the way that he was told to. I knew in ninth grade when I stood the second year that God had already done something in my heart. Now here's the rest of the story. Do you know what I wrote on? Being a preacher. Even though I couldn't be one, the Spirit of God had saved my soul. God had put an urgency in a little fellow's life. But I thought, who am I? David didn't do that. David just ran out of obedience. Now let's picture David is there. His dad instructed him, take this bread, this parched corn, and this cheese, and take it to the battlefield and check on your brothers. Now look at this, if you would, please. We see the next step. In verse number 21, for Israel and the Philistine had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. Oh, my friend, there's no greater way for us to honor God than to live the Christian life. There's no greater way for us to honor the Word of God than to read it, to memorize it, and to live it. There's no greater way for me to honor my mother and father that I buried both of them and put them in the grave than to not let the name of Smith ever be defamed. Oh, it'll be lied about. There will be stories that'll be told. But I want to the day that I go to the grave for me to honor my dad and my mom. But let's go a little bit farther. November the 11th, 1961, when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, I want to live my life to honor my Lord. At my father's graveside service, the family and friends of the town are coming. We brought dad's body from Iowa down to Missouri. Way back years ago and fifth grade Sunday school class, the teacher walked up to me and said, Dave Smith, and she started poking me in my chest. I'd gone to church that day with my granny and granddad. That teacher said to me, she said, Dave Smith, if you'll let God, he'll use you one day. I wasn't even saved yet, but she believed that God could do something. She believed that God could do something with every one of those little boys that was in her class. That day in Bethany, Missouri, on a dreary day like today, underneath the tent, I stood at the head of the casket of my father. A very nice car pulled in. A very well-dressed lady pulled out, stepped out. She stood in the back of the crowd that was there all gathered underneath the tent. My wife, our children sang. I gave the graveside service. And then everybody began to leave, and we were supposed to go over to one of my aunt's house for a get-together. And this well-dressed lady approached me. She began to poke in my chest. She said, I told you, 96 years of age, Mrs. Reinhardt taught my Sunday school class, and she believed then, seeing nothing, but God gave an opportunity. And that day, I honored my Lord, honored my parents, and I honored a teacher that believed in me. Somebody believes in you. Somebody's praying for you. Somebody's believing that you can do what is in front of you, that you have the time, you have the ability. Oh, maybe you can't see it. And remember when we were learning to tie our shoes. Remember when we were learning to write our name. Remember the frustrations of learning how to diagram a sentence, and it still frustrates me. And learning the different pairs of parts of speech, and it still frustrates me. But learn that God gives us an opportunity, and we've taken that opportunity, but it's not time to stop. We must stop and back up and realize my life must be live to honor my Lord. My life must be lived to honor my Savior. My life must be lived because my Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood. How could I do less than give Him my best after all He's done for me? David went to the battlefield. He delivered the bread and the parched corn. He went to the battlefield, and now he honors his brothers, and now the battle begins. Goliath presents himself again. Eliab steps forth after David says, what's going to be done to this guy? And Eliab says to him, he says, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Just go on down home. You need to go back with those few sheep. And David says those words that hundreds, if not thousands, of messages have been preached. Is there not a cause? Word gets down to Saul, and you know that David can't wear Saul's uniform and Saul's armament. But David does take what he has. David does take what he is. You remember the message start out? If you see it, you have the ability, you have the opportunity. It's God's will for you to do it. Right. David has on his side a script. That's that little bag. David doesn't pick up just one stone because there's one giant. When God allows you and me to do His will and we do it, God will give you and me foresight. That's how you can have wisdom above years from the Word of God. David puts 5 stones in that place because as he looked at the army, if we had time and we go to 2 Samuel chapter 21, we would see the names of his 4 sons. And those 4 sons have a name. And those 4 names mean something. But let's go back to the battlefield. David is now brought before Saul. Saul said, son, talk to me about it. Well, there was a day I was watching my sheep. And he talked about whooping the lion and whooping the bear. I know that's not in the scripture, but that is in the Hebrew, whooping. And what happened? He took him out. You understand that one? And what ended up happening? He said these words. God's going to do the same thing. You see, he had opportunity. He took the opportunity. He had the ability through God to do it. And now, after the long, he approaches the battlefield. Look with me, if you would, please. Now, down to verse number 38. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass and a coat of mail upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, David girded his sword upon him, and we saw that. But in verse 40, he took his staff in his hand, chose him 5 stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Now I want you to jump down with me in verse 45. Then said David unto the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee, look at me please, in the name of the Lord. If you see it, you have opportunity, and you have the ability, it's time for you to do it. There might be a bus driver sitting here that's not driving a bus. There might be a bus secretary that's sitting here that's not working on a bus route. There might be a Sunday school teacher here sitting here that's not offering to volunteer. There might be a soul winner that God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to your heart, but you don't go soul winning when there's an opportunity. And we give all kinds of excuse after excuse after excuse. I can't sing in the choir because I'm not that good. I can't sing the special because I'm not that good. Nobody asked me. And we give all kinds of excuses. And if I would go back over here, Mrs. Gearhart, I'm not standing up because I don't want to. I avoided what God might want to do. I'll be the first to admit to you I'm not a good preacher, but can I be honest with you? I don't care what kind of preacher I am, if I'm doing what God wants in God's way, with God's power and God's anointing and God's filling. And that's where David was. He ran number 1 out of obedience. He ran number two out of honor. Now he's standing in front of Goliath, and Goliath says in verse number 46, David says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven." That was David's purpose, to glorify and to magnify God. Now watch this in verse number 48. It's going to get good. Hang on to the pew, because there's a possibility you want to stand up. In verse number 48, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near nigh to David, to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. We see now David did what his daddy said, honored his brothers that were at the battlefield. Now David's running right towards. You know why? Because he has opportunity to serve and glorify God. You could be missing something real important in your life. You don't have no idea what you missed by missing your prayer time this morning. You have no idea what you missed when you missed reading your Bible on Thursday. You have no idea what you're missing when you don't bring your family together and have family devotions. You have no idea what you're missing, and the list can go on in all of our lives. And number three, we see this. He ran out of opportunity to serve, to do something for God. But it's not over with, because David locked and loaded. He began to swing and swing and swing that sling, and that stone come out, and we see that he dropped him. Now watch in verse number 51. "Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." Now watch. The stone didn't do the killing. You're here today on Sunday morning. That means you have every intention to do right. You're here holding your Bible, and that means that you have every intention to receive from God. You're listening to the message, and that means that there's a real sincerity in your heart. Watch this. But how about going for absolute victory in the Christian life? How about being what God would have us to be and doing what God have us to do? Because David went and took Goliath's sword, and that day stood upon him and dropped it and took his head. And we see when that was done, the army didn't flee until the head was off. And God's not going to pour out the blessings like he'd want to until you finally admit you're lost and going to hell. I have no idea through the 50 plus years of preaching, how many times my wife has sat in a front pew or in a private place with a preacher's wife, and she said these words, "I've lived my life. I thought I was saved, but I'm not today." Are you today here in this church, and you can't remember a time that you personally, I didn't say the exact date, but a time. You see, I'm not married because I have a ring on my left hand. I'm not married because Mrs. Smith and I have lived together for 51 plus years. I'm not married because we have children. I'm not married because we have grandchildren. I'm married because on May 22nd, 1971, I said these words, "I take thee, Shauna Jo Evans, to be my lawful wedded wife," in front of her family, my family, God, and friends. Has there been a time that you've personally said, "I realize I'm a sinner. I ask God to forgive me my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and give me eternal life. And by faith, as best I know how, I'm trusting you as my Savior." Or you're saying, "Hey, Brother Dave, I have the time, I have the place." Then, my friend, there's an opportunity. Let's live the Christian life and run the Christian life out of opportunity, out of obedience, out of honor for our God and His Son. Several times when I'm having my prayer time, I say, "Father, I'm claiming the blood that Jesus shed. It washed my sins away. How can I do less than at 71 years of age? God, I don't care what I am. but give me the opportunity. And God, if it's to go to Jasonville at the Blessed Hope Baptist Church, God, I'll get up and read my Bible. I'll fall on my face and pray. I'll beg for your power and your anointing and your filling. But God, it's up to you. That day when David released that stone, it was not David's ability. It was God to reach down and use that ability. It was not David's strength. It was God looking down and saying, I've got a life that I want to use, and a life that I've given an opportunity, and a life that is stepping forward. Where are you at today in your walk with God? Where are you at today in your service for God? Where are you at today in your relationship with God? You see, without a doubt, we have this day to live. Will I live for God? Will I live for self? Will I allow the temptations of the flesh to control me? Or will I walk in the Spirit of God and live a life pleasing to Him? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the attention of these people. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that your sweet Spirit, oh God, don't let anything stop that now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and you say, Brother Dave, I have no doubt, I have no question. If I was to die today, I would go to heaven. And I can slip my hand up as a testimony to God. If you can remember that time that you personally said, Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my heart. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony to God? God bless you. Thank you for being honest. You say, Brother Dave, I'm here. I can't think of that specific time and that specific place. Would you pray for me? I sure will if you slip your hand up. Is there somebody like that today? You're not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You say, I'm not absolutely sure. Would you slip it up? Then lastly, Brother Dave, as you were preaching today, God, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart in some specific way. Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Brother Dave, God spoke to my heart today. You see, you and I have an opportunity. There's still breath in our bodies. You and I have an opportunity to live and give our life totally to God, to serve Him, to do what God would have.